God, thank you for your word today. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Minister to all of us, Lord, and even those that aren't here today. Bless those moms. Thank God if they're out there with their family doing things, and let them hear the word of God in some way, and those that are here, Lord. And we thank you for them. We thank you for everyone in this body, Lord. And we're here to hear from you. So make your word alive and just use me as your vessel to speak so that people hear you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Galatians, as we've been going over, have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, grace and freedom. And false teachers, Judaizers came in telling them, no, Jesus isn't enough. You need to be under the Old Testament Mosaic law and be circumcised. That was a teaching of bondage, false doctrine. Law and grace do not mix. The law could not save. It showed us we're sinners and we couldn't keep it. And we've gone over this. We believers have been set free, but as we studied last week, free to love, not to sin, but set free. You know, we tell people, Jesus sets you free. And some people can misunderstand. It's like, oh, then I can do anything I want. Contrary to that, as it tells us in Romans, God forbid that I should continue in sin. He sets us free to love and to follow Jesus. That's the way he sets us free. And Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. True love and grace is what we achieve as a Christian. We're free to do that. Religion law brings a person into bondage. They have to do this. Love, grace brings me to the point of, I want to serve the Lord. I have a love for others and for God. I don't have to. I don't have to not steal. I don't want to steal. You see? We've been called to liberty. When we believers are born again, we become a new creation in Christ. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That's the sign of the believer. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Jesus said, you'll know them by their love for one another. He didn't say by the bumper sticker or the things around the neck or this or that. He says, you'll know them by their love one for another. A very evident sign. In 1 Corinthians 6, if you'd like to turn there, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. That's what we're to do. And we've been given the power to do that by the Holy Spirit. However, the old man, the old nature, still hangs around. It would be wonderful if when we were born again, God got rid of the old nature. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, nothing tempts you. My flesh never wants anything. But it isn't that way. See, that can be a problem if we don't take the fact seriously that the flesh is still around. We don't become like Superman, go into a phone booth, get rid of the old clothes, put on a new, and now we're strong. The flesh, the old nature, is still there. And if a person doesn't realize that, take it seriously, they will be defeated. They think they can do anything or handle anything. It's there, but we have the power to live according to the new creation. That's what it means. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. There's a choice. That's a command. You, Jim, walk in the Spirit. By the Spirit. We're spiritually alive. It's similar to having two suits in the closet. An old, comfortable suit that you never want to throw out. And then a brand new, good-looking, neat suit. Fresh. One chooses each day which suit they want to put on and leave the house with. You choose. I choose. We have that old, sinful, fleshly, self-pleasing suit in there, that nature hanging around, and we have that new suit, that new creation in Christ that has been made spiritually alive by Jesus and is well-pleasing to God. Did you ever put something on and your husband says, oh, that doesn't look good? Well, you got to be careful, man. You probably don't want to say that. You got to find a neat way to say, you know, I like that better or something. But, you know, or the wife tells us, well, you know, I really don't like that. Okay, I'll go put on the new shirt. So it's got some holes in it, so it's comfortable and all. Okay. And the flesh loves to put on that old suit. It's so comfortable. It's so natural. You know, we don't send people to school to learn how to sin. You know, we don't have lessons on that. It's just natural. Just to be, the flesh be comfortable and do whatever you want. So we have that choice, what we want to put on. And what Paul is trying to get across to the Galatians is, live according to the new covenant, grace, and the Spirit, and you'll have victory in life. Don't go back to what these false teachers are telling you, that you have to put on the law, be circumcised, and get back into religion and bondage again. You don't need to do that. Don't go back. And even in our case, don't go back to the old life, back to the flesh. Don't put the old suit on and have the flesh ruling. And don't fool yourselves, as we will see next time, next week. If you practice, as it tells us in Galatians, or live a life of the flesh and want to be under some other way to get to God, you aren't going to make it to heaven. You will not inherit heaven. And it tells us that in Galatians and in Corinthians. You do such things, you practice such things. If you're living in that old suit, you're not making it. You remember what the parable Jesus told? There was a wedding feast, and they had to put on the right attire, and they found the guy, hey, you're not dressed up right. Get out of here. That's being clothed in the righteousness of Christ to get in. You can't just do it the way you want to do it. You see, a person won't get in. But if you really are free in Christ, and you accept God's grace, you're born again, it'll show. You'll love God. We'll get into that too when we get into the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. Things will be coming forth from your life that are godly. It'll just be not natural, but supernatural. The law equals no fruit. Spirit, fruit. Here's the thing. You and I will be attacked by Satan and his followers. We will be attacked. That's why we read in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. Our flesh will be tempted. And when we think of temptation, oh, drunkenness, fornication, all these sins, you know, adultery and stealing and murder. No, sin is anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. There's an unlimited number of sins. You see, and you and I will be attacked in certain areas of our life that Satan observes us to be weak in, or close to, or desire. And so we will be attacked. Our flesh will be tempted because it's still around. Don't you wish you could see it like you're dragging it along? Then you could cut the cord. But it's still around. So what do we do to not give in to it? What do we do to have victory in our life every day and just rise above it? Verse 16. One verse, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And God's promise is, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One verse as an answer to walking a right way with God through this life. And as I look back at my life, I would have to say, amen. Every single time I do something wrong or did in the past was because of the flesh. And I didn't choose God's way. I chose to give someone a piece of my mind. I chose to take vengeance or get back. I chose to do this. I chose to do that. I chose to do the wrong thing. It's all the flesh. And we can't blame anyone. There are no excuses. See, people like to blame other people. This is a powerful verse because a lot of times we think the other person is the problem. Well, they've got their problems, but that's between them and God. But then I've got my problems, and that's between me and God. I don't have to have a problem because they got a problem, where most people fall. That person's got a problem, and it causes me to have a problem. Why? Because I don't walk in the Spirit, I walk in the flesh. It could happen this morning to me, after church to me, after hearing this message, because he's right there, Satan, attacking me. He wants to put me on the bench and not stay in the game. You too. The next best thing that Satan can do once you're saved is to make you totally ineffective. How does he do that? The flesh. Feed it. Think about it. Choose the new suit every day. Put it on. You call it the whole armor of God. And know this, it's our choice. People say, but I can't help it, I'm this way. Then God is a liar. We know God cannot lie. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And there's many verses in the Bible. God is not a liar. Yeah, but there's no buts. The Holy Spirit was left us by Jesus to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, and to testify of Jesus. You know, and I don't think many people understand this. When Jesus left us the Holy Spirit, it's just as if Jesus never left this place. And he's just not localized anymore. Because he left his Spirit in us. So it can go out to the world. Before, you would have had to go and see Jesus on that mount to hear the Beatitudes. Limited number of people. Now billions do, because he lives in me. You see? Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The person in the world that is not born again cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's the distinguishing mark of a born-again Christian. Jesus tells us that right here. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and, looking forward to the book of Acts, will be in you. He was with them, but now he's going to be in them. I will not leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I will come to you. Jesus said, I will come to you. Verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. So we have the Holy Spirit. So when we read verse 16 in Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What he's saying here, obey the Holy Spirit's instruction. That's what that verse means, walking in the Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. Then you can understand it. Because when you just tell people, walk in the Spirit, okay, what does that mean? Obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. That's why he says, I said, a better word seems to be by, looking at some commentaries, walk by the Spirit. In other words, I walk according to the Spirit. I obey the Holy Spirit's instructions and not mine, the flesh. It's a choice. Which road do I want to take? There's a Y in the road. Right or left? I'm going to take the Holy Spirit drive. Go down there and be guided by the Spirit. And we're able to choose to be guided by the Holy Spirit. It's our choice. But if one isn't born again, they don't even have a choice. They just feed the flesh. And that word walk in the Greek in verse 16, peripatio, it means to walk up and down, to live our daily lives out. That's what it means. It means to walk up and down. It's just, I'm just walking in my life today by the Spirit, obeying the Holy Spirit's instructions. God's speaking to me. If you're walking somewhere this afternoon and you see, you walk into a restaurant and you see a wallet on the ground, and you open up, it's got a lot of money. Are you going to take it or are you going to give it back? Or are you going to ask, give it to the owner? What do you think the Holy Spirit's going to tell you? Have a bigger lunch. No, that's not going to be the Holy Spirit. We're going for the buffet, honey. You know there's $100 in here? That's what the flesh would tell you. What would the Spirit say? Give it to the owner so that if a person comes back, they can get it back. It's that simple. They used to wear these bracelets to kids. What would Jesus do? WWJD. I wish they would have read it. WWJD. That's all you have to ask. What would Jesus do? You can wear something, proclaim something, but if you don't do it, it doesn't do you any good. But we need to really ask ourselves, what would the Holy Spirit want me to do? Should I get back at this person that just gave me a bad comment? Should I gossip about them? Should I get angry? Should I do something? Or should I pray? You know what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you? Pray. Love them. Don't have to compromise. Don't have to conform. There is, in one verse, an answer to the drunkard, the adulterer, all those that are addicted to vices. You just don't do it. You just don't do it. You pray. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you have victory, and that saves you a lot of counseling money. One verse in the Bible. There's an answer for all fleshly sin right in the Bible. You don't do that, you follow Jesus. You walk in the Spirit, choose to obey the instructions of the Holy Spirit, and if you do, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what we're promised. Try it today if there's something that's got a grip on you. You'll have the power to choose. It's a promise of God. But remember, the old sin is still around and temptation is at the door. Don't think you can handle anything or be anywhere or take part in anything. You can't. The flesh is around. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Sound familiar? In this corner, we have the flesh. In this corner, we have the Spirit. Guess who's stronger? We love to do fleshly things. Don't listen to the flesh. The answer is to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. You know, the Bible says crucify the flesh. How do I do that? Well, you know how to kill yourself? Don't eat. Eventually, you will crucify your flesh and die. So how do we walk in the spirit, have victory, and don't give in to these awful things? Starve the flesh, the fleshly nature, not your flesh physically, the fleshly nature. You don't give in. The temptation comes, and you starve it, you crucify it, you don't feed it. You feed the spirit, and you pray, and you seek God, and you ask what he would want you to do. And the more you feed something, did you learn it? You've probably learned this in life. The more you feed something, it grows. The less you feed something, it starves. But you see, this is all our choice. We don't feed it. We kill the flesh by not paying attention to it, by saying no to it. You know, someone irritates you or attacks you, the flesh will say, get back and get back one better. The Spirit says, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to listen to me. And guess what? Your reaction will be different. You'll do the right thing. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't get caught up with wanting to punish these people or hurt these people or be against a certain people. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's like heaping coals of fire upon their head. Conviction. Victory is possible to the believer. Maybe feel, I can't get a grip on this area of my life. Feed the Spirit so you grow in strength. With prayer, with words, with worship, with fellowship, with serving, loving. It's just like your lawn. Just like your lawn. You want your lawn to be the lushest, greenest lawn on the street. It'll show if you feed it. People say, wow, look at that. You don't want it to be barren, yellow, ugly. People will say, you're not feeding it. You're not watering it. People say, well, I don't have to go to church. I can listen on the internet or do this or that. And they probably don't anyway. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Even more so as you see the day approaching. With technology today, it's like drawing people away. We need to be a strong unit serving. Fellowship, loving, being aware of all the needs and doing what God would have us to do. Feed the Spirit. Don't take the time away from the Spirit. Take time away from the flesh. And you'll grow. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7, please. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, fleshly, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, now a lot of people don't like this verse, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Does that sound familiar? Paul had this dilemma. Gosh, I would love, you know, we want to be the most spiritual people. And we can really talk it. You know, we can become really super spiritual in our talk. But what happens? You fall flat on your face next week. And you say, why did I do that? Why didn't I didn't do that? We have this desire to be really great with God. Paul did. But then he finds, gosh, I want to do this. But then I find myself not doing it, and I'm actually ending up doing things I don't want to do. What an idiot I am. My flesh is so weak. See, that's how strong the flesh is. That's why we need to starve it and not give in to it. Once you don't give in to something, it's easier the second time. You build yourself up. It's the same way as going to the gym at first. If they told you to get on there and do all these reps, you'd say, are you kidding me? I can bench press 30 pounds and I can do 7 push-ups. Okay, well, that's a start. I used to tell people this, that would say, well, I can't do it. Well, okay, you need to exercise. But I don't exercise. Okay, go out and walk around the block once. Okay. You walk for a minute and a half. Okay. Then the next day, add on 10 seconds. Then the next day, another 10 seconds. And then come back and see me in 6 months and tell me if you did it. And you can do it. Why? Because you started. And you built up. And eventually things you thought you would never conquer, they're defeated through the Spirit. And the things you used to do, you don't do anymore. But you must exercise. We talk so much about physical exercise. Spiritual exercise, like Paul told Timothy, is more important. The things of the Spirit. And that's what's waning, and the physical is gaining. Just exercise. And then go down to verse 22 of Romans there, Romans 7. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Now, a lot of people end with verse 24. You know, they'll share this chapter with people and say, you know, I'm just like Paul. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. Oh, wretched man that I am. And they missed the last verse. He gave you the answer. He wasn't a loser. He gave you the answer. Verse 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The previous verse said, who's going to deliver me from this? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I just give in to sin with the flesh. The answer is verse 16 in our text, walk or live by or obey the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in verse 17, we need to understand there's this battle going on, the flesh against the Spirit, and we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Not grieve, but yield. Because it's possible for a Christian to be in this state and be grieving the Holy Spirit. But they will be miserable. Our people say, well, what's my part in all of my Christian faith? Our part in our Christian faith is to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and yield to the Holy Spirit. Believe and yield. That's our part. Isn't that great? No labor involved. Believe and yield. No schooling involved. Believe and yield for victory. Live by the Holy Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. Ephesians chapter 4. Please turn ahead to the next book, Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve. Now, he's speaking to believers here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Well, how do we not grieve the Holy Spirit? Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. One's the fruit of the Spirit, the other is the work of the flesh. So that's what we do. You know, in John 15, Jesus talks about him being the vine and we believers the branches. If we're not attached, abiding in Jesus, the trunk, the root, we die. We wither. We have to be attached. Our life source is Jesus. As long as the branch is attached, it bears fruit. As long as the branch is cut off from the root, it dies. It can't function on its own. We need Jesus. The key to staying abiding in Jesus is obeying his commandments, following the Holy Spirit's leading in our life. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He tells these Galatians, you were born again by grace through faith, then you need not be under the old covenant, which just puts a burden on you. You get frustrated, you sin. It doesn't change a man. You need to be under the new covenant, grace and mercy. So if you're here today feeling defeated in a certain area, can be worry, lots of things. If you feel defeated or that you can't stop doing something, the flesh has a certain hold on your life, know today you can leave here victorious. Doesn't that sound good? Just like Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that sound good? Like, it's so lightening of the load that you don't have to carry out this sin with you out there. Let it go. Don't come up with another plan or talk to another person to try and have victory over this area. God has given you free counsel today, and it's walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Thank you, God, for your word, for your love for us, for your truth. We pray today that we would be set free, all of us, from things that seem to hinder us in our walk with you. Help us to use our choices to please you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for knowing you. It's so good to have a good, good Father who always does what's right for us. We don't understand things at times. And when we don't, when they hurt, when they cause trouble and bewilderment, just comfort our hearts and help us to walk in the Spirit, just knowing that you love us. And in it all, you have a plan. Help us, Lord, to just trust you with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, and have a wonderful day. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.